on Lawson, with Victor Carin as Adrian Lucas.
Shock hits in different ways. Some people freeze, some panic. Trouble always seems to lead me
into the telephone.
When I skidded into the dignified reception hall that wet afternoon, I knew what I wanted. There was even a long-legged telephone bird waiting to help.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Is there a phone here I could use?
A telephone, sir?
Yes.
Well, there's one in the office.
Oh, good.
But Mr. Warwick doesn't like the public using it.
Oh.
Unless it's very urgent. Are you ill?
Ill?
Well, sometimes the service is too much for a morning and we have to call a doctor. Or an ambulance.
Oh, well, I don't want an ambulance.
Actually, we don't find many patrons of the crematorium need to use the phone. And if it's not urgent, Mr. Warwick would kill me.
Oh, I just want to make a telephone call.
Well, we don't have a pay telephone. Oh, but there is one down the road.
Oh, good. Exactly where?
At the end of our driveway. Turn right and straight along the road.
Thank you.
It's only about 10 minutes walk from here.
10 minutes?
That's right. Still raining, is it?
Pouring.
Mr. Warwick would kill me.
Good afternoon, Sylvester House Hotel.
Elsie? Elsie?
Is that you, Adrian?
I need a little help, love. Could you come and pick me up?
I thought you were gone.
Not yet.
Yes, since you've left the country.
Well, I haven't.
Well, it's not going to be very pleased to hear you've missed your plane.
I didn't miss it.
What?
Can you come and get me?
Why don't you get a taxi?
I can't find one.
No taxis at the airport.
I'm not at the airport.
Where are you?
I'm at Eastport Crematorium.
The crematorium?
And I'm soaked through.
What on earth are you doing there?
Well, I'll tell you when I see you, Elsie.
Well...
Oh, damn it, woman, I'm dissolving!
In all, I spent half an hour absorbing city rain into my mohair, open-weave, tropical, lightweight suit. I was out of shock and into exposure by the time Elsie drew up.
Don't you have a coat, Adrian?
It's in my case in a locker at the airport with the money belt. Could we go there first, please?
What time's your flight?
I'm not flying.
What about Zurich and the Bahamas?
I need a couple of days to myself.
What were you doing at the crematorium, Adrian?
Attending a funeral.
Whose?
Well, that's the trouble.
Are you going to tell me, Adrian? Paris will need some explanation.
Okay. Well, I decided to take the afternoon flight out and, as usual, got to the terminal good and early. Just to keep my eye on the faces coming and going in case I saw someone who knew me. I camped in the barn, read a newspaper or two, and there in the death columns I saw David Black.
David Black?
No, years ago. He was a kind of uncle to me, an 84th cousin of my mother. A funeral undertaker to trade, with an office and workshop on the south side of the city. I went to school here for a few years.
I didn't know that.
Well, during the school holidays, Uncle David had me sweeping up, doing odd jobs, office chores. A nice, happy little, kind, friendly man.
A father figure.
Oh, one of them, I suppose. So, I'm at the airport with time to say goodbye to an old friend. I grabbed a taxi, but by the time we got to the crematorium, the service was finishing.
Oh.
But I suddenly remembered the routine of the place. David had taken me on business to the crematorium once or twice and shown me the works. So I sneaked into what you might call the back shop. I nearly didn't make it. The gas was lit.
Huh?
It was a bit macabre, but not as grim as it sounds. Well, not to me, anyway. David had taken the sting out of death all those years ago.
For you, maybe.
Well, anyway, there was a small peephole, fireproof glass. I looked through and there it was.
It?
What the Americans call the slumber receptacle.
Oh.
He used to send up the American way of death. A funny, fat little man he was. Not at all what you'd expect a funeral undertaker to look like.
So?
Well, that was the trouble. The man in the cremation chamber was thin, middle-aged, with a long-chinned face. Well, David Black was 70 if it was a day.
Oh.
Whoever was cremated at the funeral of my Uncle David, it was not my Uncle David.
I see now why you missed your plane.
Well, there's more. The name of the firm that handled that funeral was Messrs. Bishop and Baird.
Yes?
Well, that's the name my uncle traded under. It was his own business. He funeral undertook himself, Elsie.
Maybe they were doing two funerals and got the remains mixed up.
No, I checked. Bishop and Baird had just one delivery today.
A mistake, then?
Oh, look, love. You need official papers to organise a funeral. A death certificate for one, which means a doctor and someone to identify the deceased.
Two bodies and one certificate?
Well, that's one possibility. So what happened to David's body? The whole thing has more question marks than a clock has ticks. I need Paris's expertise.
I'd have to call him anyway, about your return.
Athelstane Paris was a fat spider with webs he hadn't even used yet, and a mind so contorted that he believed that ethics was a county in England. My unprogrammed return would turn him into 16 stones of sensitive and suspicious radar. Still, he was a very generous employer. Yes?
Adrian, my boy. How nice to hear your voice again.
Oh, it seems just like yesterday, last time we spoke.
It was yesterday. You will be recommencing your little journey for me fairly soon, I hope. You know how I like my currency deliveries completed expeditiously.
No, something came up, that's all. Once it's clear, I'll be on my way.
Now, let me guess what your problem is. A sprained ankle? A flat tire?
No.
Or has some husband discovered your monogrammed corn plaster beneath his marital couch?
I need some professional advice, Perez. I want to break into a house.
Do you mean what our American cousins refer to as burglarization, dear boy?
Right. I need someone good who keeps his mouth shut.
Being good is keeping your mouth shut. Well, I shall see what I can do. When do you need these services?
Tonight.
You are making an excessive demand, Adrian.
No, you do want me to get on my way as soon as possible, Paris.
Point taken. You know, I should have thought that encumbered as you are with the excessive fee you charged me for your last assignment, you had little need of money at the moment.
Well, it's not money I'm after, Athelstane.
Good God, can you burgle for sex nowadays?
There are other things in this world apart from money and sex.
Name seven, dear boy.
Will you help me?
Certainly. It will be expensive. I think the best course is for me to refer you to a wholesaler, someone who subcontracts. Let me see. Yes, Eddie Gallagher.
Yeah, it sounds like a good thieving Irish name.
Wait and see, Adrian. Give me an hour or so, and I shall see if Eddie can accommodate you.
No, but I'll be here at the hotel.
With the pneumatic
air. Oh, and to finance the operation, I'll need pounds.
My usual commission.
Make it a grand. I'll pay you in dollars.
In the usual used and smallish untraceables. It shall be arranged at soonest, dear boy.
I gather you managed to overhear all that, my love.
And coffee for two coming up, sir.
Well, that's really the reason I jumped plane. You make the best coffee in Christendom.
I don't like this breaking and entering, Adrian.
There's no other way else here. I have to get a look at David's flat. That's where it all started, I'm sure, so that's where I start.
You're going to call his flat?
And have a little chat, whoever answers. Might be a representative of the Morning family, and it might not be.
It might be someone who knows you.
Oh. I wonder who I'll be today.
Hello?
May I ask who's speaking, please?
Who's that?
My name is Eglitson, City Assessor's Office. I'm sorry to disturb you, but we would like to get in touch with the executors of the late Mr. Black.
Oh. The late David Black Esquire, you mean?
Yes, please. It's not massively important, but we were in correspondence for some time.
What's it to do with?
Well, it's regarding the escheatorship of his proportion of the teens of the property. They're mutually held, you see. So
oh,
you
I
see,
don't know anything about this. You'd better get in touch with his lawyers.
The lawyers?
Gooch, Marsh and Weatherspoon.
Is there a Mr. Eglet... what's it?
Eglitson. It's nostalgia backwards.
Nostalgia usually is.
And do you want to speak to Miss McLaren?
Blues, Marks and Hovercraft. Lover's Moon...
Gooch, Marsh and Weatherspoon.
Hello. Could I speak to Mr. McLaren, please?
Putting you through.
Putting you through, Adrian. What is a Weatherspoon? Or can you not tell one spoon from Weather?
McLaren here.
My name's Eglitson. I'm a plumber. And I did old Black's drains last month, and now his check has bounced, and the bank says he's dead, and I had to telephone you about it.
Ah, yes, Eglitson. Mr. Aitchison, well, you see, it's quite usual practice for the banks to stop checks presented after the date of decease.
Stop them? I want mine started again. I'm just a one-man business, you know, and I can't wait for bloody months while you lawyers make up your mind who gets paid and who doesn't. And there must be somebody with a cash box somewhere.
Well, your best course of action, Mr. Aitchison, would be to render your account once again. Make it out to the trustees of the late David Black and send it to Blythlow Road. Mr. Square, the late Mr. Black's partner, will look after
it. Oh, you mean he'll pay me?
Well, your account will be processed as soon as possible. There is the matter of probate.
It's just not good enough. It's not good enough. I want my money. I might as well be paying wooden threepennies.
I didn't know Margot had a partner, Mr. Square.
Going to corner him, Adrian?
Why not?
Remember that Pyrrhus is going to call him.
He's uncanny, that man. Hello?
Adrian, I have made an arrangement for you to meet Eddie Gallagher.
Good.
Level 6 in the multi-story car park at Garton. In exactly 1 hour and 10 minutes' time.
Right.
Beside the exit.
Oh, how will I know him?
You will have no difficulty in recognizing Eddie Gallagher, but to make yourself recognizable, I suggest a classic gesture, my boy.
Oh?
A buttonhole. Ask Elsie to get you a yellow flower. A marigold, perhaps. Or a rose.
Are you serious, Pyrrhus?
Eddie was quite insistent.
I don't have a car.
Elsie has.
The multi-story car park was a cold and lifeless temple to the automobile god. The flower glowed like a candle on my lapel. I stationed myself close to the exit, trying not to touch concrete, which was fragrant with the bad breath of 1,000 cars. In self-defense, I began to inhale the vegetable in my buttonhole. When I looked up, a great artifact had manifested itself 6 feet from my shoes. It breathed at me and a door opened. I stepped into 20,000 quid's worth of smoked windows. The woman in the back seat was as sleek and expensive as the conspicuous consumption she rode in, and had it not been for the long cigarette nailed into the corner of her mouth, she would have been just about perfect. The chauffeur, a golden boy in grey suede, drove on as soon as I sat down.
Mr. Lucas?
Good, I can take the flower off now.
Weighing you down, is it?
Nice. Where do we meet Eddie Gallagher?
Are you sitting comfortably?
Well, I usually prefer a nice plastic seat, but I'll make do with this leather stuff.
Sit up and pay attention, Mr. Lucas.
What?
My name is Eddie Gallagher.
Ah, Eddie. Edwina? Edwardiana? Oedipus?
Miss Gallagher.
Yes, ma'am.
Pyrrhus said you needed professional assistance.
Yes.
Terms of cash.
Half down, half when it's done.
No, all down now.
Didn't Pyrrhus give me a reference?
Yes. That's why it's cash down.
Oh. All right. Agreed. But no questions asked, and I make all the decisions.
You're paying for them? What do you want?
Well, for a start, how about opening a window in this bus? I can hardly see you for smoke.
Jason, the air conditioning.
Thanks. Ooh, that funny smell is oxygen. I need to get into a flat and look around and leave no traces.
Is this a blackmail act?
No, I want information. Right, but not that kind.
In and out, nice and clean. Jason?
Yes, Miss Gallagher.
Have you seen Goldilocks recently?
Well, he was in Germany last month doing a biggie at some museum, but there are some big race meetings coming up.
Fine. Mr. Lucas, Goldilocks is the best key man there is. Very up-to-date, very confidential.
Just don't let him get too near the GGs.
Goldilocks has a weakness. He tends to give a lot of money to sick animals.
No?
Except he doesn't know they're sick when he backs them.
That's just during the day. You'll want him for night work.
How soon can I meet him?
Jason?
Dunedin Bar, say about 5:30. It's near the bus station.
Right.
You pay me, Mr. Lucas. And call him Vincent. He pretends not to like his professional nickname.
Eddie had the pretty Jason halt our majestic progress long enough for me to climb back into fresh air. Her dark blue smoking shed slid away with a noise like brandy breathing. Elsie's car might be Iron Age, but it smelt clean. By the time I got back to the hotel, I was suffering from telephone withdrawal symptoms.
Who is it this time, Adrian?
It's time Googe and his friends called up the crematorium.
East Ward Crematorium?
Mr. Warwick?
Wilberforce Warwick, Director of Services.
Ah, this is Googe, March and Wotherspoon, solicitors for the executors, the late David Black.
What can I do for you?
Well, our client, Mrs. Lilly, particularly requested us to convey to you her sincere thanks for your services.
Indeed.
How kind of Mrs. Lilly. Ah, yes, the black funeral, mm-hmm. I remember now.
Now, so many pals through your hands, Mr. Worry.
Yes.
Everything went off as planned, I gather.
Yes. I did not actually attend that particular service, but I am sure my sister...
Very helpful indeed. I believe the coffin and its remains arrived safely.
Arrived safely? Oh, such a happy euphemism.
Ah, yes. Mrs. Lilly remains totally opposed to the principle of cremation.
I beg your pardon?
A little eccentric, perhaps, Mrs. Lilly, but wealthy in her own right.
Pardon?
However, thanks to your assistant, as far as the other mourners were concerned, the cremation took place as expected.
Took place? Of course it took place.
I understand, Mr. Warwick. We would not wish to suggest otherwise.
Otherwise? What?
Thank you again. Mrs. Lilly was very pleased. I believe she has already shown her gratitude in a material way when she called for the casket, I believe.
What?
Thank you, Mr. Warwick. Goodbye. That's that. Judging by Mr. Warwick's reaction, there was nothing unusual about the black funeral. So, the switch was at the other end.
Who is Mrs. Lilly, Adrian?
You are.
I thought so. Wealthy in her own right?
Generously endowed.
Thank you, sir. Poor Mr. Warwick. You've sullied the good name of his crematorium. The creme de la creme.
Sorry about that. Is there a payphone in the hotel, Elsie?
Downstairs in the lobby.
Hello.
Could I speak to Mrs. Lilly, please?
Who?
Mrs. Lilly.
There's no one here of that name.
No, there must be. She gave me this number to call.
Well, she's not here.
But that's terrible. I'm holding something for her.
Lucky old you. Sorry.
Now, my Lilly, back upstairs to the private phone.
Hello.
Ethel Lilly here. You have a message for me?
Who?
Mrs. Ethel Lilly.
Oh,
I'm waiting.
What was it in connection with, Mrs. Lilly?
You must know. The late David Black.
David Black, Esquire?
Oh, come along, come along.
I'm afraid I don't...
Perhaps
understand.
I could speak to someone of average intelligence.
Aye.
Now, listen closely. Tell whoever called that Mrs. Lilly is ready.
Ready? Ready for what?
Ready to wish someone other than yourself had answered the telephone. Mrs. Lilly is ready, do you understand?
I think so.
Goodbye.
The acid, Mrs. Lilly. Now for the punchline.
Downstairs on the payphone.
Right. Hello, it's me again. I've checked the bloody number and it's yours. Mrs. Lilly has just got to be there.
Oh, Mrs. Lilly, yeah.
She is there. Oh, great, let me speak to her.
Well, no, she's not here now, actually, but maybe I could take a message.
A message? I'll give her a message, all right. You tell that old crow that she'd better hurry up. It'll not keep forever, you know.
Eh?
I mean, I can't keep it in the cold room here. And the weather forecast says it's going to get a lot warmer tomorrow. You tell Mrs. Lilly that I'll tip the whole thing out of the front lawn if she don't get a move on.
Well, she says she's ready.
Oh, she is, she? Yeah. Right then, tell her. Come round the back at 4 o'clock sharp.
The back?
Yes, the back of the crematorium at 4 o'clock on the dot. I'll be ready and waiting. She'll need a car with a big boot, remember?
4 o'clock. Who shall I say call?
Oh, she knows who. Roddy the bloody body snatcher, that's who. Oh, that's it. Now, we'll need some good, fast film. Phyllis still has that dark room?
Yes, but I don't know if he'd like...
Well, he won't know, Elsie, will he?
All right. You want pictures of everyone who comes and goes.
We'll park you nice and snug in the street beside Bishop and Baird with a good view of the shop and the close beside it. It leads to David's flat upstairs, and I want a photo of all comers and goers this afternoon.
Oh, that should be easy enough.
And I shall hover about the back premises of the creme with my camera around about four.
Right.
Then we develop the films, compare, and we should have some nice portraits of the ungodly by this evening.
Clever Adrian.
And no risks taken, if we're careful. Only God can make a tree. I tried to go one better and make a systems analyst with a camera slung round his neck look like a tree. The adolescent butchers that overlooked the creme shivered a bit, but otherwise seemed taken in. The imposing white front of the place was all welcome and plate glass, but they must have run out when it came to building the rear. But no windows meant fewer watchers to peer at that man hanging about in the garden. There was no chimney either. I wondered if they smuggled the smoke out in plastic bags in case it upset the customers. By 4:30, I had long stopped trying to puzzle out the chimney lack. No one had appeared. I called an innocent infantry a terrible name and went tramping for a taxi. We drove past the exact spot where I had left Elsie and her mock Tudor Morris. It had gone. It was not outside the hotel, and Elsie was not inside the hotel. I made one of my shorter calls that day.
You have lost my Elsie.
Look, she wasn't where I thought she'd be, Pyrrhus.
Find a hard chair, my boy. Sit on it and think. I shall bring Ernest with me.
I didn't need a hard chair to help me concentrate, or Ernest. Ernest was one of Pyrrhus's blunter instruments. He could bend tire levers with his fingers, or other people's. I sat up straight.
And you say you saw nobody?
Not a soul. The Morris had gone.
Elsie is not exactly a model of consistency, Adrian. Perhaps she had become bored or gone shopping or something.
No. She was quite keen. And she likes using the Pentax you gave her.
You lost Elsie and the Pentax? Oh, dear boy. Well, very well. Ernest and I shall make a few inquiries. What was the address Elsie was observing for you?
Blythe Railroad, corner of Cornwall Hill Road.
The exact address, Adrian.
What does it matter?
Ernest.
Oh, hold on. Pyrrhus, hold on. It was 754 Cornwall Hill Road and 2 Blythe Road.
Sit, Ernest.
Do you know something about that address, Pyrrhus?
You left Elsie alone in her car to photograph the arrivals and departures at 754 Cornwall Hill Road.
Yes, but... No, wait a minute.
Ernest, bring the car round to the front.
There's a lot of space left in the room when Ernest goes on.
Adrian, for once in your life, keep your mouth closed.
Well,
you will leave this matter to me, understand? You have put Elsie at considerable risk, and it will take all my diplomacy and considerable resources to find out what has happened to her.
But can I help?
You will stay here. Oh. I thought you would not steal the bed. I would have Ernest chain you to it. Oh. And you will be on tomorrow's earliest flight out of the country. Do you understand?
Oh, well.
Or I will instruct Ernest to mail you out in a very small box. Oh, how I wish you had been born without uncles, Adrian. Or perhaps not born at all. Oh. You will remain here until I come back. Promise.
Oh, anything you say, Pyrrhus.
You must be Mr. Lucas.
And you are Vincent.
I'll have a whiskey and Coke.
Coke? You don't like the taste of whiskey?
No, it's a Coke I don't like.
Oh.
Is that a marigold?
What? Oh, yes. Waiter.
There's a beast running the air called Marsh Marigold.
Whiskey and Coke, please. A bottle of tonic for me.
And there's one at Doncaster called Sea Tonic.
Did Miss Gallagher tell you what I want?
Eddie, sure. Nice woman, that. Here. I think there's a filly called Nice Lady and a big one next week.
Look, would you put that paper down and pay attention, please?
I'm all ears.
Quite. I want to get into a flat.
No explanation. Just show me the place.
Oh.
Anytime you like.
Now?
No. We haven't had a drink yet.
Well, once we've had our drink, then.
Right. You show me the place and I'll meet you back here in an hour or so.
Suits me.
No chance.
What?
Suits me. There's a Gigi called out running at Newmarket tomorrow. No chance. That block on the corner, right?
Number 2, one up right. The name of the door is Black.
There's a back lane?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do me a favour, will you?
What's that?
Throw that damn flyer away. That taxi driver was giving you the eye.
I was growing quite attached to it.
See you later.
Fine. Right. Now, anybody in?
Can I help you?
Oh, I do hope so. My name is Patrick of the Planet Life Assurance Company.
Oh, yes.
It's in connection with the estate of the late David Black.
And Mr. Black was a partner here.
That is correct.
And I'd like to speak to any other partners.
There is only one, Mr. Square, but he isn't in at the moment, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. Will he be back soon?
No, not long. He just nipped out for a nip to keep out the cold. Well,
perhaps I could wait.
If you like, come on through.
Oh, thank you very much.
We usually keep clients in the front, but, well, you're not here on business.
Well, not your kind of business, Mr.
Torrance.
Mr. Torrance
is my name.
You say Mr. Square's going out for a quick one. Is there a good pub round here?
Oh, he just lives along the road.
Oh, so you're holding the fort?
Oh, I'm quite used to that. Old Mr. Black used to say that when they cremate Mr. Square, it'll take them weeks to put the fire out.
He fears the cold a lot. Were you actually here when Mr. Black
died? Oh, yes. It was very sudden. Mr. Black died in harness.
Oh, it must have been a terrible shock.
Yes, I'd just come in from lunch. I was just hanging up my coat. Mr. Square was standing just about where you are standing right now.
Oh.
And there was this banging from the toilet through there in the workshop. We got the door open and poor old Mr. Black was lying on the floor. He was gasping for breath and told us that his chest was hurting. We got him across to the couch and Mr. Square found the doctor.
The doctor?
He arrived very quickly, but Mr. Black died soon afterwards.
Oh.
A massive heart attack, the doctor said it was.
Well, one of the details that I need is the name of the doctor, Mr. Torrance.
Ah, Mr. Black's doctor was old Dr. Harrison.
Harrison.
But it wasn't Dr. Harrison who came when Mr. Square called.
Oh.
No, it was his partner, I think, Dr. Wilson. Very efficient he was. A very efficient young man.
I see. You don't happen to have his address, do you?
It should be in our telephone book. I'll get it for you.
That's very good of you, Mr. Torrance.
And whom do we have in our office, Mr. Torrance?
A gentleman from the insurance, Mr. Square. Mr. Patrick.
Mr. Patrick.
In the midst of life, we're in death, Mr. Square, and in the midst of death, we are usually in insurance, as we say.
Indeed, Mr. Patrick. Thank you, Mr. Torrance.
Oh, yes, right. I'll get back then, Mr. Square. Goodbye, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Torrance. Mr. Black had a policy with us, Mr. Square.
Who exactly are us,
Mr. Planet Life.
Perhaps you would be better advised to speak to the solicitors, Mr. Patrick. They are Messrs. Googe, March and Wonderspoon.
Yes.
You've heard of them, Mr. Patrick?
Oh, yes.
Difficult names, but in my profession one becomes very adept at names. Planet Life, you did say?
That's right, Mr. Square. Googe, Marsh, and Wotherspoon, you did say.
That's right, Mr. Patrick. No doubt you'll be eager to continue your investigations.
Of course, Mr. Square. Well, thank you very much for your assistance.
Not at all, Mr. Patrick.
Old Square reeked of professional courtesy, good malt whiskey, and rank suspicion. Behind the Scotch mist, his screw-nail eyes had measured me up and down, inside and out, and not just for a wooden overcoat. By the time I reached the main road and began looking for a taxi, his needle fingers would have peeled back the pages of the directory to reveal that there was no such organization as the Planet Life Assurance. Any second, that black vulture might flap round the corner after me. Oh, a taxi. That was lucky.
Get in, Mr. Lucas, please.
Oh, I don't think so, really.
Please, Mr. Lucas.
Oh, well, might as well. Nice of you to share with me.
Pleasure's all yours. Driver, drop us beside the park gate.
Oh, I'd like to get back into town, if I could.
It's... We can talk better in the park.
Can we?
Excellent. Here we are.
Well, thanks for the lift. How do we get back to town from here?
I brought my nurse with me, Mr. Lucas. That green Ford scooter parked over there.
Ah, with two nurses in it. Big male nurses.
Protective.
Ah, so it's going to be a gangbang.
Oh, I hate to disappoint you, but your honour is not at stake.
Not sure I brought it with me anyway.
Shall we take a stroll in the park?
Ooh, I'm not allowed to go into the park with strange men.
My name is Brown.
Does that mean you're not strange anymore? Who are you, Charlie Brown?
a government employee.
The British Secret Police are studying the art of funeral undertaking.
We are studying you, Mr. Lucas.
Me? I'm just family, Charlie Brown.
Do you happen to be carrying your passport with you, Mr. Lucas?
Oh, bother. I seem to have left it at the hotel.
Which one?
Nithsdale House Hotel.
I meant, which passport?
That's a foul calumny. An insult to a citizen of the United Kingdom, and unworthy of a man who brushes his teeth at least twice a day. Besides, Charlie Brown, you can't prove a damn thing.
We have colleagues in other countries who are always glad to receive information about suspected illegal exits and
now,
entries.
Now, isn't that a particularly beautiful flower bed? Eroticus and spetunias, I think. Have you searched my room?
Spetunias?
I just loathe the thought of those great hot police hands crushing my silk white fronts.
I imagine they wear rubber gloves for that kind of thing. And not police, Mr. Lucas. What's so interesting about Bishop and Baird?
Just a nice place to be. Good vibes.
Before you called to see Mr. Square, you examined the whole corner, almost as if you were inspecting it, memorizing windows, checking the flats, what used to be called casing the joint.
I'm interested in dogs. It's such a magnet for the little darlings, that corner. Its own lamppost, a convenient bus stop, drain pipes, nice high curb, and of course that big sign.
What sign?
P.
All right, Mr. Lucas, carry on. I've got lots of time all day, all week. Do you have lots of time?
The proprietors of Bishop and Baird.
Yes?
David Black. He died 2 days ago. He was a kind of uncle to me. I was very fond of him.
How touching.
It happens to be true. I got back to this country just in time to go to his funeral.
No?
I just wanted to visit the old shop. I didn't want to get mixed up in grieving relatives, though. Believe me, I spent many happy boyhood hours at that corner.
Merely a nostalgic visit.
Exactly that. A little trip down memory lane. I really cared for that old man.
Have you ever heard of a Mrs. Teague?
No.
When do you intend going back overseas, Mr. Lucas?
As soon as possible, I hope.
Tomorrow?
Well...
You have had your little reminiscence, your little self-indulgence. What is there to keep you?
I keep on meeting such interesting people, Charlie Brown.
Say farewell to them today. You are leaving tomorrow. Goodbye, Mr. Lucas.
Goodbye, Charlie Brown.
What kept you?
I met a friend. How did you get on?
Two-thirds, a second, and two-thirds. Not bad for a day's work, eh?
I meant the flat, Vincent. Not the flat season. The house.
It's got a Yale and a mortise, but they don't use a mortise. And there's nobody at home.
You'll bring your gear in case there are any troublesome locks or doors inside.
Natch. Do you really think that Marsh Marigold is a chance?
What? Look, could we leave the horses out of this for a minute?
Yeah.
Now, where will I meet you tonight?
Park your car in the residence car park beside the big block of flats opposite the park. Be there at midnight.
Mm.
Put your lights off and just sit there. I'll be there about one-ish.
Right.
I'll have a look round first. Wear dark clothes, quiet shoes and nothing that rattles. No loose change, eh?
I understand.
Hey, did a pony called Loose Change not win the Cesarewitch once?
Where is she, Phyllis?
And where have you been, Adrian?
Oh, just a doctor a drink. Where's Elsie? Have you found her?
She is lying down, recovering from your incredible stupidity.
Well, I want to see her.
I want to speak to you, Adrian.
Later. I want to see her first. Elsie, are you awake?
Oh, hello.
She is very sleepy.
How do you feel, love?
Oh, a bit dopey.
Are you up to telling me what happened?
Yes. It was funny. After you left me, I just sat in the car and waited. I had the camera all ready and a good view of the door and the corner.
Go on.
Well, I must have waited for about 10 minutes and then I started to yawn.
To yawn?
Yes. I got very, very sleepy. The car was quite warm and we were up late last night.
I remember.
Yes. Anyway, I just made up my mind to open the window and get some cool air on my face, and that was that.
What?
I fell asleep.
I see.
It went out like a light. When I woke up, I found I'd slept for nearly 2 hours, and I was still pretty groggy. I decided to come back to the hotel. I wasn't going to be much good with the camera with my eyes closing all the time.
You did the right thing, though.
Well, I don't know about that. I started to drive back, and near the cross-town motorway, the police stopped me. Must have been waving all over the road, Adrian.
Poor, poor girl.
Anyway, they breathalyzed me, and I've been charged with driving under the influence of drink or drugs.
Good thought.
Of course, I called Pyrrhus, and he got me a lawyer, and they got me home. Oh, didn't do very well, did I, love?
You're back safe with us, and that's what matters, love. Now, just do lie back and sleep.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be silly, my dear. Close your eyes and rest. Come along, Adrian.
I'll be back to see you later, Elsie.
Right. See you later.
Well, Athelstane, a right mess I've got us into.
Indeed, Adrian, indeed. Well, let me hear your explanation before I explode.
No, tell me first, Pyrrhus. What is the significance of 754 Cornwall Hill Road?
Somewhere in that vicinity, my dear boy, is the headquarters of what might be called a mercenary organization with a specialist interest in international affairs.
Espionage?
No. Basically, the pursuit of profit. They do not overlap on my business affairs, and I do not trespass on theirs. At least, until you came along, I did not.
Oh, I can only plead ignorance, Pulse.
Rumor has it that they run a safe house, a transit house for anyone who needs it and can afford it. Certainly they are freelance, and they abhor publicity.
So, I sent Elsie to keep watch on some international hoods headquarters, and any strange car parked near that corner will be spotted within minutes.
I should imagine they'd keep 24-hour surveillance on all arrivals and departures which might concern them, like Elsie and her camera, whom they put to sleep.
I passed the corner in a taxi, and the monitor wasn't there. They did more than put her to sleep.
I'm sure they did.
Knockout gas, I suppose.
They would get her name and address and the telephone number of this hotel, and not to mention other information, from her handbag.
Then watch poor Elsie weaving her way down the road towards the breathalyzer.
Poor girl. This is without argument. All you're doing, you realize, Adrian.
Look, this organization, it must have a name.
Scootifer.
Oh, isn't that something to do with heraldry? Right?
Yes. It means the bearer of the shield.
Oh, well, a shield. That's appropriate for protection people. Well, they must be attracting attention. Charlie Brown dropped Scootifer in as if it were a kind of saloon car. You sure they're freelance, Pyrrhus?
Well, so far as my information goes.
There's no Middle East connections, is there? I mean, would they eat Jaffa oranges and Egyptian potatoes?
They would eat Gentiles like us, Adrian. You might as well know that I've had, indirectly, word from them. They dislike your meddling. They know you're staying at this hotel. They do not believe, fortunately, that Athelstane Pyrrhus in any way approves of your interference.
Now, Pyrrhus...
Listen to me, dear boy. Pack your bags and go. I care not whether you intend to spend the rest of your undoubtedly limited years in stamp collecting, macrame, or the study of newts, as long as you do it elsewhere. Not, repeat, not under my roof.
Cast into the wilderness.
Adrian, if you persist, I shall reluctantly, but very rationally, have to terminate our business association. Probably because you'll be finding yourself once again attending a service at Eastport Crematorium.
Oh?
As the principal participant.
No. Okay, Athelstane, you win. I'll get a flight out tomorrow as soon as possible. I would like to see Elsie back on her feet, though.
Good. I approve. Shall we drink to that lady's health? And your imminent journey?
I could use one.
How did you get on with Eddie Gallagher, by the way?
Somebody should tell her she looks like a long-legged Humphrey Bogart with that coffin nail in her mouth.
A very capable lady.
She must be loaded.
Oh, the Rolls-Royce, you mean? Her husband had a very profitable car hire firm.
Had?
She is widowed, poor thing. He died just as his financial affairs were coming to fruition.
Fell off a cliff.
Out of a hotel window, actually. Nothing was ever proved.
Not this hotel, I hope.
Oh, this is much too modest for Eddie. She preferred tower blocks with a minimum of 20 stories.
And well-oiled windows. Do you fancy her, Pyrrhus?
There was a time, Adrian, when the instinct did raise its head. But on further investigation, I kept our relationship strictly business. Do you aspire in that direction?
Oh, any woman who ruins 80 quid's worth of Chanel by mixing it with 60p of filter tips is not for me.
An interesting lady all the same.
Oh, well.
And useful. Were it not for the fact that you must leave us.
Not too bad.
Yes. Any chance of your continuing your inquiry into your uncle's demise is now quite removed. The Scutiba thing is an insuperable obstacle.
Yes.
However, in the course of time, should any little item come my way, I shall naturally keep it warm for you. I am sure there must be a perfectly acceptable explanation of the whole affair.
As usual, Athelstan, you're right. Is there an inch or two of that brandy left?
Several, dear boy, several.
Vincent?
All set. Lock your door.
You worried there may be a burglar about?
Lock it. Give me the keys.
What are you doing?
Keys rattle. I'll tuck them in the inside of your wheel rim, front off side. They'll be here when you come back. Ah, what do I call you?
Lucas.
Right, Lucas, let me see you jumping up and down.
What?
On your toes, you look fit enough. Jump up and down a few times.
What on earth?
I want to listen to you, see if you make any noise. Jump.
How's that?
Fine, nice and quiet. And dark clothes and quiet shoes. Got gloves?
Yes.
Right, let's go.
What are you doing?
Shh. The mortise is off. It's open. Get in. Sit still a minute. Okay, we've arrived. Why? There's nobody at home except us. That's the hall light. Now, I'll just go round the place pulling curtains and opening any doors you want.
What's that round your neck?
Stethoscope. Great for walls and doors. You can hear someone breathing in the next room.
What?
Not here, though. It's all yours. Where do you want to start?
Oh, the living room, I think.
No luck?
Nothing. Nothing at all, though I shouldn't be here.
Well, I guarantee you this. There's no safe in this flat, no cash either. I've checked a lot, wardrobe, sideboards, cupboards. There's some nice saleable silver and a bit of porcelain.
No, Vincent, nothing added, nothing taken away like shredded wheat.
Finished, then?
Well, we're finished here.
Right. Here's my torch. Go and sit in the hall floor beside the door. I'll check the rooms, leave them as we found them. Lights, curtains and all that. Street's nice and quiet down there. The rain's held off.
That's nice.
Cheer up, Lucas. You'll soon be tucked up with a wife.
I don't have one of those.
Your teddy bear, then. Yeah, I think that's all. Yeah, that door was just opening no more. That's that. Everything as we found it. Give me the torch. I'll open the door, and you go down and wait for
before
me.
Before we go, Vincent...
What?
There's a shop downstairs I'd like a look at.
I wasn't told nothing about a shop.
Well, if you listen very carefully, you'll hear 100 little voices telling you all about it.
Eh?
100 quid to get me in downstairs.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it. Shops have alarms, you know.
I doubt if this one has.
The door will be in the street.
Side street.
How far away is the nearest street light?
I don't know.
Is the door flush to the street or is there a porch? Is there an outer door, a grill? Is there a bar, a padlock?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Make it 200.
I'll go and have a look out front. What kind of place is it?
It's an office with a workshop behind it.
I'm not taking any risks, understand? Wait for me round the back.
Ah, oh, you're a bloody medical man, Vincent.
I hate people who don't oil doors.
No curtain. It's frosted glass.
Forget the light, then. There's a door at the far end.
Oh, that's into the workshop, I think.
You've been here before?
Briefly.
I'll need an oil, too. Yeah, this is a workshop, all right. Smell the sawdust. Must be a joiner.
There's something over there, an old safe, I think.
Yeah, there'll be nothing in that. A tin opener would get you in. They'd probably keep the tea and sugar in there. What's the name of this place?
Bishop and Baird.
Funny smell.
Oh?
Here's a joiner's. There's some kind of boards over there. Oh, God.
What is it?
There's a bloody coffin sitting over there.
Is there? Well, well.
A coffin? What the hell is this? And there's another. And bits and pieces of one.
All right, Vincent, cool down. We're in a funeral undertaker's, that's all.
My God. Coffins. That's what the smell must be, preservative. what do you call it? Embalming fluid.
Oh, come on, Vincent, it's not. They'll be empty.
How can you be sure?
Well, they probably are.
Yeah, but we don't know, do we?
No, we don't. Do you want to have a look?
Yeah, no. God. I should never have let you talk me into coming here.
Well, we're here now and there's nothing to worry about. It's just a workshop, that's all.
I suppose so. I wonder if they're all empty.
Now you're getting morbid. Come on, get that safe open for me.
Yeah. I'll not rest till I know.
Oh, all right. You must be a right nut for horror movies.
Come on. Let's have a look.
Look, try that one there. Nice piece of elm, I'd say.
It's empty.
There you are. I told you so.
There's another one over there. It's on a kind of stand.
Mm, ready to go out in the morning. Maybe you're in luck this time, Vincent. Mind you, there may be some ancient curse about disturbing the dead.
Do you think? Ah, you're kidding. Let's have a look anyway.
I'll hold the torch.
All right.
What is it?
Oh! Look inside. Well, well, well. Isn't that something?
No wonder they don't have a good sight. Oh. Who'd look inside a coffin apart from you, I mean?
There's stacks of them in there. All neat and counted.
Nice colour, Brown.
Tenors.
Not dead, but sleeping.
There must be bloody thousands in there.
They'd make a nice comfy mattress. Come on, Vincent. Put the lid back.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get out of here.
But they can't be going to bury that lot, can they? Or cremate it? What a waste!
No, we just unwrapped someone's parcel, Vincent. Saves postage sending it that way.
Oh, you mean they put a body on top and...
Just to keep the money from blowing away, of course. Oh, come on, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Now we left no marks of our visit, right?
We're clear. I'll put the torch out. Your eyes will get used to darkness in a minute or two.
Yes, there's a glow from the street.
That was amazing, that was. Some cash box, eh?
Unusual, but not a word to anyone.
Not ever. A word.
Quiet as the grave, Vincent.
Oh, yeah. Right, you go first and wait for me beside the door.
Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Lucas. There are two gentlemen at reception who'd like to speak to you, Mr. Lucas.
Right. Elsie, thanks. Keep them chatting. I'll do a quick fire escape.
Oh, don't bother, Adrian. One of them's just remarked what a pretty fire escape we have, and the other is on the way up already. You've got about 20 seconds.
Right. Keep that safe shut. See you.
They're coming! Coming!
Oh! Surprise, surprise. Charlie Brown.
Mr. Lucas, please get your clothes on, your bag packed, pay your bill and come with me.
Well, it's the wrong day for a Sunday school trip.
Your plane leaves in just over 1 hour.
No, it's old-fashioned British hospitality time. Courtesy of the secret police, eh? And stop staring at my knees, they're the only ones I've got. I've never been seen off by officialdom before. Do they issue you with special hankies to wave bye-bye with?
Don't enjoy it too much, Mr. Lucas. Think of the charges my colleagues in other parts of officialdom could bring against you.
Lies, all lies. Well, it's quite a nice morning for being kicked out of the country.
Yes. Stay away for a while, will you, Mr. Lucas? Read up about customs and passport and currency regulations.
I have. Yes.
Never handled escudos, Mr. Lucas?
No, fancy holiday in Lisbon, Mr. Brown, sir.
Escudo. It means a shield. Did you know that? The word esquire comes from the same root. He who bears a shield.
What a fascinating chat we are having, to be sure.
It's not a word that's used much these days, an esquire.
Well, not a lot.
Mr. Adrian Lucas?
Yes?
We have a telephone call for you, Mr. Lucas.
Coming. I wonder who that can be.
You won't mind if I come with you.
My little brown shadow. Hello, I'm Edwin Lucas.
Oh, the telephone's over there on the table, Mr. Lucas.
Thank you. I do like your hat.
Oh.
Don't you like her pat little bonnet, Charlie?
What?
It doesn't keep the rain off.
Oh, what a shame. Charlie here designs hats.
Oh, yes.
What? As a matter of fact, he's designed stewardess's hats for a variety of airlines, perhaps even yours.
Now, wait a minute.
Well, I wish you had consulted the staff. I mean, if you had spoken to some of us girls before you designed a stupid little...
Adrian Lucas here.
Just a word in your ear, Lucas. Your friend in the Chrysler fix has seen you off, but we're not finished with you.
What?
You got your girlfriend back safely, but don't think we're satisfied. You and Goldilocks are unfinished business.
What? Who is that? Who is that?
I assure you it looks very nice on you, very nice. I didn't mean to imply that...
progress, Charlie.
Anyway, I don't know anything about hats.
That is obvious.
You'll never pick up girls that way, Charlie. Sorry, miss, this is diet. Too many peanuts.
Who's on the phone, Lucas?
Very persistent, this encyclopedia salesman.
Who was it?
A gypsy, warning me about travelling in an aluminium death tube.
Look, we don't have
Ladies
time...
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please make your way to the aircraft now? Have your boarding cards ready, please.
Here we go, rather I do. Thank you, miss. Love your hat.
Thank you, sir.
My friend here is going to show me something I bet you've never seen before.
Pardon?
A British Secret Police membership card. Mm. Show her, Charlie.
Oh, just go through, sir.
Thank you.
Tell you what, Charlie Brown.
Come on, Lucas. The sooner you're airborne, the better.
Do you still want to know who called me just now?
Who was it?
Let me stay another couple of days and I'll tell you.
What? No, I'd have to get clearance for that.
Oh, I didn't know they allowed cars on the tarmac. Look at that big blue row.
Yes, VIP probably, but not like you. You, Lucas, are a VUP.
If I'm that unimportant, what are you doing here? Is it a deal, Charlie Brown?
I don't know.
Hey, there's a chauffeur.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, what is it?
Go! Oh! Go! Oh! Into the Rolls, Lucas, and fast.
Oh, I thought I recognized the wagon.
Sit still, keep your head down and shut up. Eddie Gallagher wants to speak to you. You better get your breath back.
Where are we going? Jason, isn't it?
You need to freshen up.
Do I?
Fancy a dip.
The building we arrived at was a soot-blackened Victorian pile laced with scaffolding. Through the pipes and poles I read a legend which must have greeted generations of the unwashed in search of soap and water. Corporation Baths. It seemed to be closed for repairs. Jason took me in past the deserted paybox and showed me how to climb over the frozen turnstiles. The reek of chlorinated water disinfected my nose. All those smooth and shiny white tiles reminded me of a slaughterhouse.
That's your cubicle.
What?
You'll find trunks and a towel inside.
No, I won't. I'm not looking for them.
I brought a shooter, Lucas. You've been brought here for a swim, with or without your clothes.
Right now, Sonny, my clothes and my flight bag are probably crossing the channel. Does Eddie know you carry a gun?
It's a Colt 45 automatic, Lucas.
That's not a gun, it's a small cannon.
Get changed.
I hope the shorts fit. They're a horrible colour of blue.
Hurry up. You shouldn't keep a lady waiting.
Aren't you joining us?
I won't be far away.
Oh, mustn't get your little gun wet. Public baths should be noisy. A great echo chamber for screaming kids in a storm of splashing. I didn't like the palace of cleanliness when it held its breath. No ripples, no slaps, no gurgles. Just a great rectangle filled with wet space. What light there was came from the evening sky strained through the dirty glass roof. By the time I padded around the pool, the diving board was just a blacker line against the dark edge of water.
Take the plunge, Lucas.
What?
Dive in.
You first.
You'll get cold waiting.
I can't see you. Couldn't we have a light or two? Out! You didn't need to push. Aren't you joining me?
Right, Lucas.
Oh! Cut that out!
your accomplishments, is it? Oh,
not in the dark, it isn't. Where are you? Stop that!
How was Vincent when you saw him last, Lucas?
Vincent, fine.
Where did you see him last?
Standing in the car park, watching me drive off. Look, would you mind telling me what this is all about?
What time did you leave, Vincent?
2:30. Maybe a little later.
Don't swing to the side, Lucas. Jason's waiting for you with a pick handle.
What's this all about?
I want you to know how Vincent felt.
What do you mean?
Vincent didn't arrive home this morning. His wife never saw him. The best we heard of him was when we heard he had been fished out of the river.
Good God.
This morning.
Oh, no.
This is a good time to hurry, Lucas.
No, wait. I've nothing to do with that.
Poor Vincent. Think of it, Lucas. Your eyes and your ears and your mouth full of water. You've got to stop breathing.
Damn it, woman. I don't know that happened to him.
Then how come you were getting the hell out of the country this morning?
I was being kicked out, that's why. By special branch.
Go on.
Well, they knew enough about me to make things very difficult. Ask for it. He could build my background.
I don't believe you. You were running scared because you knocked off poor Goldilocks.
Hey, where are you going?
Let's see how long you can stay afloat, Lucas. Jason was a friend of Vincent's.
No, Lucas. We're going to keep you here until you float face down, just like Vince. Oh.
Jason, move it!
Did you enjoy your swim, Mr. Lucas?
Charlie Brown to the rescue.
Oh, thanks.
You've got funny friends.
Oh, well, I imagine other people have found the back of a mini a difficult place to put clothes on.
First they snatch you from the airport, and someone's going to pay for the bruise on my ribs. Then they try to drown you.
Well, I'm glad you followed the rules.
It wasn't too hard. I wouldn't want to lose you.
Very touching.
Kite fly.
Eh?
You're my kite, and I'm flying you.
Oh. Do I get off here?
See that junction ahead?
What about it?
The right-hand road goes directly to the airport.
I see. And the left-hand road?
It doesn't go to the airport.
Oh, I have a choice.
If you fly nicely...
Fly me.
Who phoned you at the airport?
I don't know.
I'm signalling to turn
right. I mean, I don't know his name, but I think I know who he was.
We're nearly there.
The same man I spoke to when I called my uncle's flat. The man who used one of your obsolete words, Esquire.
We just turned left.
What did he say? Just that he... that they were not finished with me.
What did you find last night in the flat or the shop?
There's not much you don't know, is there?
The police know about it too, Lucas. What did you find?
Well, a lot of empty files and a litter bin full of money.
A litter bin?
Made of oak with brass handles and lined with sterling. And before you ask, I didn't touch it.
Professional integrity. Yeah, there's a nice, quiet lay-by somewhere along this road.
Charlie's behaviour became very eccentric in the lay-by. Using only a spanner with me to hold things, he turned the car into a driving school mini in 5 minutes flat, with big, bold signs fore and aft on the roof and red and white L-plates visible a mile off. He converted an inoffensive little car into a very obvious traffic hazard.
Why? Well, everybody will notice the car now, Mr. Lucas, but nobody will see it.
Ah.
Now, here's a clipboard and sunglasses. You be the instructor, and I'll do what I can to burn out the clutch.
We took off with a judder and a weave in two learner fashion and slowly entered a well-established section of suburbia. Substantial houses lined the prim avenues and drives. the dens of stockbrokers, company directors, civil servants, and similar pillars of society, there wasn't a mortgage in sight. Charlie Brown took a left-hand corner, clipped the curb, changed into top, and took his feet off everything. We came to a halt.
Aren't you overdoing it a little?
You're supposed to put the handbrake on.
It's been on since we started. That's what I mean by overdoing it.
Now, and while you're lecturing me on why it's not advisable to park the vehicle on a railway crossing, take a look at the house first right.
Big house. At least 20 rooms. Half acre of garden, nice and secluded. Walls, hedges, trees.
The kind of place your uncle would like?
Oh, I doubt it. He'd a nice cozy flat above it. But David owned that house.
A firm of lawyers and a property agent covered it for him, but he owned it all right.
Oh, I suppose he could afford to. Did he live in it?
Now and then. In this part of town, one's neighbours don't exactly overlook one, do they? Don't want to sit still for too long.
Oh, the Leapfrog School of Motoring.
He travelled a lot, David Black. There isn't a continent he didn't visit in the past few years.
Oh?
At least two holidays a year. That was quite realistic, wasn't it?
Is it taxpayers' money that pays for the new gearbox?
Sometimes he was away for a month at a time.
Now, try using the clutch at the same time as you change gear. So, he liked travelling.
You travel quite a bit yourself, Mr. Lucas. Oh, quite legitimately, in the course of your job, although you do know that moving from one country to another can be quite a profitable activity.
You just put your lights on.
So I did.
That's the windscreen washer.
Oh, sorry. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that your uncle was involved in any currency dealings.
No.
Do you think someone killed him, Mr. Lucas?
I don't know. What was that for?
An emergency stop.
You just failed. A good learner would have stalled his engine. Switch off, Charlie Brown.
There's a highway code in the glass compartment.
Now, isn't that carrying play-acting a bit far?
It's well illustrated.
Photographs pasted into it.
Tell me about them.
That's David. A little older than I remember. Taken abroad, palm trees, deep shadows. And here he is again, with a woman.
Do you recognize her?
No, positive.
Your uncle had a brother, Samuel. That's his widow.
Sam, yes. Oh, that's his widow, is it?
She calls herself Mrs. Teague. She lives in the house I just pointed out.
Does she?
Next picture.
You even have me in your little picture gallery. Where was that taken?
Where and when you didn't know it was being taken, Mr. Lucas. Keep going.
Well, well.
Go on.
I don't know who that is.
You can do better than that.
Well, no, I swear I don't know who it is, but I have seen that face before.
Where?
Through a glass darkly.
Eh?
Eastport Crematorium. He took the place of my uncle. The pantomime of the learner driver came to an end abruptly. I had the feeling I had passed the test. Charlie drove us briskly back to town and talked the same way. By the time I walked up the steps of the hotel, I had a few days more guaranteed stay on British soil, provided I kept up my kite impersonation act for Charlie Brown, provided a lot of things. Elsie was nowhere to be seen, but my key was hanging on its hook behind the reception desk. As I got into the lift, I hefted the key with its large plastic address plate. It felt different, because it had an elastic band wound tightly around its shank. I pressed the button for the second floor and the door sighed to a close. I went out the back way, and by the time the lift had reached the second floor, I was back in the open air. I needn't have bothered.
Rushing off somewhere, Mr. Lucas.
Yes. The library, actually.
May I have a word with you first? Chief Inspector Huntley.
Oh, well, my books are dreadfully overdue.
And then perhaps we should go up to your room and get them.
Gah. Yes.
The lift appears to have gone, but the walk upstairs will do us both good. What a fine spell of weather we're having, to be sure.
To be sure.
Nothing like an anti-cyclone, I always say.
I always say that, too.
The second floor, isn't it?
205.
Adds up to 7. How lucky.
For some.
But not for you.
Oh, neither is 999. What brought you up here, Chief Inspector? Heavy breathing phone call?
Here we are.
Well, do come in.
Thank you.
I'd offer you a chair, but you won't be long.
No, Mr. Lucas. Mind if I close the door?
Tell me, Chief Inspector, was it a male or a female voice that brought us together?
Mr. Lucas, I'm making inquiries into the death of a man you know as Goldilocks.
Ah, well, if you look closely, you will see that I'm not Daddy and I'm not Mummy. And I sure as porridge am not Baby Bear.
Just to make sure, Mr. Lucas, may I see your passport?
How did you know I was carrying it?
We could discuss this just as easily at my office.
Hold on. It's in the hotel safe. Hello, is Elsie there? Oh, I see. Well, look, Mrs. Cooper, it's Lucas here. Could you get my passport out of the hotel safe, please? Ah, that's very good of you. Thank you. The hotel housekeeper is bringing it up.
Good. Very wise of you to keep it in a safe place. As a matter of fact, when it arrives, you'll not object if I hang on to it for a day or two.
You want me to stay in the country, I gather?
Just a precautionary measure, Mr. Lucas.
Are you charging me with anything, Chief Inspector?
Have you committed an offence, Mr. Lucas?
Illegal breathing, indecent sneezing, use of a public convenience without a permit.
Very ingenious. Mm-hmm. So far as I'm concerned, at the present moment of speaking, all I can reliably accuse you of is failing to return your library books on time. You did confess to that.
Are you finished?
For the moment. I shall meet the lady bringing up your passport on the way out, I have no doubt. Goodbye for now, Mr. Lucas. Until next time.
Next time? Whew. Oh, what is it now? Oh.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Gallagher. You hang about hotel corridors a lot.
You knew I was here?
How many did you smoke while you were waiting?
Do I get invited in?
No swimming?
Promise. I think I've wronged you, Mr. Lucas.
You bloody near drowned me.
I was hoping that Huntley might fall down the lift shaft.
Ah, you know my visitor.
We have met. It was you I came to see.
Couldn't happen to a nicer fellow. But where's Jason?
I came alone.
Did you see me being nicked?
What?
Someone nudged the chief inspector in my direction.
Not me, I do my own nicking.
Yes.
Do you mind if I smoke?
Very much. I don't like ash on my pillow.
Didn't know I was going to use your pillow, Mr. Lucas.
Well, call me Adrian. I mean, one should be on first-name terms with anyone who gets as close as we were.
You didn't kill Vincent?
No, but whoever did is trying to use me as a convenient shield.
Well, well, a shield.
And they probably spent the rest of the night counting enough £10 notes to carpet your silver shadow several inches thick.
I just hope you didn't catch cold after our little swim.
Thanks to Charlie Brown's early morning call, I'd missed breakfast. I tried coffee on a totally confused digestive system and took a taxi to the tree-girt haven of the stone-built middle classes.
Yes, sir?
That's quite a bell you have there. A sort of medium bend.
Can I help you, sir?
I'd like to speak to Mrs. Nora Teague.
Who is calling, sir?
I am.
Whom shall I say is calling,
sir? A long-lost relative, Adrian Lucas.
Mr. Lucas. Would you please wait, sir?
No, not out here on the step. Or I'll ring your doomsday bell till its clappers fall off.
Perhaps you would care to wait in the hall, sir?
Perhaps. So this is the hall, or is it the second-best badminton court?
I shall be with you in a moment, sir. Would you come this way, sir, please?
Lovely echo on the wall. Great place to do bird impressions.
In here, please, sir.
Well done. Unflappable you. Bye.
Come in, Mr. Lucas.
Mrs. Teague?
I understand from Trevor that you claim to be a distant relative.
But getting closer all the time.
Sit down if you wish, Mr. Lucas. That's the most uncomfortable chair.
Oh.
Do explain yourself, Mr. Lucas.
Well, David Black was my uncle, and you were married
to Snoop Dogg. David Black was not your uncle.
Why do you call yourself Mrs. Teague if you are Sam Black's widow?
I choose to. Are you fortune hunting, Mr. Lucas?
Is it a fortune to hunt?
There are no boxes of money lying about this house, although we might be able to find you an empty box.
Well, this is a very uncomfortable chair.
Would you care for a refreshment, Mr. Lucas?
Do you mean an aspirin or a cup of tea or a weekend for two in Tel Aviv?
You're nervous, Mr. Lucas. There's no need to look behind you. There's no one else in the room with us.
No.
You probably heard someone upstairs, one of the servants. I have an excellent staff.
No, that's nice.
This is a very respectable household, you do understand, Mr. Lucas. Incidents like burglary or sudden death or theft, such things do not intrude in the peaceful running of this house.
You mean they happen to other people?
Inevitably. I think our little interview is over. I shall ring for Trevor.
He must have been at the keyhole.
You rang, madam.
Trevor, did Mr. Lucas arrive by car?
By taxi, madam.
We'd better order a taxi for him.
Not an ambulance, madam.
No, that's not funny.
Trevor.
Yes, madam.
Before you go.
Certainly, madam. Oh. Madam?
I think so, Trevor. Oh. I should not wish Mr. Lucas to leave my house under any misunderstanding. It's quite a bad bruise, Pyrrhus.
I do hope his brains won't stain the pillow.
Yes, I want him ready for a funeral.
He really should be allowed to rest.
In peace.
He has not allowed any of us to rest since he arrived.
I imagine you want Lucas in his way as soon as I do, Mr. Pyrrhus. I know, Mr. Pyrrhus, that he occasionally wears a wide cloth belt next to the skin.
The poor boy feels the cold, so, Mr. Bryan.
A two-legged piggy bank, commuting on computer business, a cash deodorant.
Oh, dear.
Carrying slightly grubby money to nice, clean Swiss banks.
Oh, Mr. Bryan appears to be given to musing aloud, my dear.
Adrian is with us again.
I don't like being talked about as if I weren't here.
Just passing the time, dear boy. You look absolutely terrible.
You are going to Vincent's funeral, Lucas.
Charlie Brown, the man who puts the fun in funerals.
Oh. Did you know that Vincent originally came from Plymouth?
With his accent, that must have been a very long time ago.
He goes back to the town of his birth for burial.
How interesting.
Plymouth is on the sea, unless they moved it.
Quite near the continent, I believe.
Oh, here's a coincidence to put on your sore head. Guess the name of the funeral undertakers.
Bishop and Baird?
Oh, she's much quicker than you, Lucas.
You don't need me, Charlie Brown. You can fill the place with your people. Disguised as tulips or organ pipes or...
St. Martin's Church at 3 o'clock.
St. Martin is always depicted on horseback.
Patron saint of betting slips. Did you stick the police on me, Charlie Brown?
No need. I already have your complete cooperation.
I tried to warn you, Adrian, with the elastic band.
Humphrey, I'd thought me.
Scutifer, you've been embarrassing them, so they embarrassed you with the police.
The chief inspector took away his passport.
Oh, how absolutely crippling for you, dear boy.
I've still got your passport from the airport.
Oh. Thanks, love.
Oh, can you stand up, Adrian?
Oh. Trevor was very efficient.
Trevor?
The butler and the bouncer.
How did you manage with Mrs. Teague?
She's terrifying. One very strong lady. I bet she could run a school for concentration camp guards single-handed.
She made you concentrate.
Oh, I planted the seeds, though, Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. One in the hall, one under a dreadful chair in the big room on the right.
I beg your pardon?
I was gardening for Charlie Brown, Pyrrhus. Planting little eavesdropping devices.
I'm not sure I approve.
Oh, I'm totally opposed to the practice, but I also wanted to hang about a bit longer.
While on the subject, you have to get dressed.
You've got a black tie for me?
I'd like to hear the service myself, but I'm unlikely to be invited. They'll let you in, and you can be my ear trumpet.
What?
I'll bug Lucas.
Oh, come now, Charlie Brown.
It's simple enough. You sit well forward in the pew and keep your hands to your face. If they see your lips moving, well, they'll think you're praying.
Praying they don't catch him.
You too, Pyrrhus. I'd like you to accompany Mr. Lucas.
But I assure you that my religious convictions are vastly removed from those of the late Goldilocks.
Then how open-minded you'll be if you accompany your courier to church. The sight of both of you at your devotion should have some of the congregation holding their song sheets upside down.
Do you think there'll be a reaction, Mr. Brown?
I hope so, miss. Step this way, Mr. Lucas, will you? May we use the office as a fitting room, Mr. Pyrrhus?
Medicinal brandy, Elsie, dear girl. At once.
So far, so ordinary, Charlie Brown. Except for a couple of heavies standing behind us. At least their fingernails are in mourning. Square is here, but I can't see Torrance. Mrs. Teague and Trevor are here, and Eddie Gallagher and Jason. And another 20 others. I don't know. Well, that's the end of the service, and I can't say Pyrrhus or I enjoyed it. The way some of these mourners looked at us when we came in. The pallbearers are carrying the coffin out now. Squares going up into the pulpit.
Ladies and gentlemen, those of us who remain are gathered together for a more important reason than mere grief for our dead friend, Vincent Gerard. We come not just to bury him, but to convict his murderer. Every person who has had recent dealings with Goldilocks is present now in this church, including our number one suspect. Stand up, Adrian Lucas. Bring him forward, please.
Afternoon, Mr. Square.
As cool and insolent as ever, Lucas. Or should I say, cold-blooded. We shall waste no time. We know, Lucas, that you and our dear friend Vincent broke into both the flat and the offices of Bishop and Baird, the property of the late David Black.
You would have difficulty in proving that.
We do not need to prove anything, Lucas. This is not a court of law. It is an inquiry by the friends of Vincent Gerard with power to convict and to carry out its sentence.
I don't recognize your...
Silence! Sister. You two, one on either side. You will speak, Lucas, when I permit it. Now, to proceed. Neither the flat nor the offices possessed a burglar alarm. However, both were provided with an automatic recording device. Any sound, any movement, any voice triggered a machine which recorded everything. We have therefore a full record of all that was said in both premises the night that Vincent died. The various conversations between Vincent and the accused are very revealing and very damning. The discovery of an amount of money is the high point of the recording. In fact, Vincent was naturally very excited about the find. Lucas said nothing about it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh! Thank you, Ed. Keep quiet, Lucas. The body of Vincent Gerard was found early next morning in the river. Having used Vincent's talents to gain entry, Lucas had no further use for him. He certainly had no intention of sharing whatever takings they found. Nobody else knew where they were going that night. Only the accused, Adrian Lucas, and our friend Vincent Gerard knew about the visit. And only Lucas left the building alive.
Is it my turn now?
Well, say what you can, Lucas.
I left Vincent in the car park, fit and well, and with an extra 200 quid in his pocket. I went back to my hotel and arrived there about 3:30. I have a witness who can support that.
In this church?
No.
Go on.
If you have a recording of what Vincent and I said to each other that night, you'll know that I had no intention of taking anything. The whole idea was to get in and out without arising suspicion.
Possibly that was your original intention. The sight of a considerable amount of cash would understandably change your mind.
Oh, hold on, hold on. Your tape machine, does it tell the time? Can you tell at what time any part of the recording was made?
Heth?
Yes, Mr. Square.
We went into the flat at near enough 1:45, and we left the offices at around about 2:40. Do these times agree with your transcript?
1:40, 2:45, yeah.
So far, all you have done is confess to breaking and entering, Mr. Lucas.
Are there any further voices in your tape after 2:45?
No.
Are there any other sounds?
There are no further identifiable sounds.
I bet you haven't listened too closely. Someone went back for the cash, but it wasn't me. But you want to use me as a scapegoat.
Oh, come, Lucas, you're no scapegoat.
I left Goldilocks healthy and happy. The only man who could get back inside that place was himself. But he must have had help.
Oh, not very convincing, Mr. Lucas.
Someone brought a car in and ferried a few grand out of there and stepped over Goldilocks' body on the way. Not me. Someone who knew him very well. Someone Vincent thought he could trust. Now, look around for someone who doesn't mind a little night driving with some plunder and murder for
you men. You bastard! You murdering bastard!
And she doesn't mean me, Square.
Miss Gallagher!
Stop him!
Hey, stop that man!
Come on, Chris.
Well, stop inside, boy. But I think he's got away.
Did you hear all that, Charlie Brown? Jason, the chauffeur, just left in a hurry.
Don't go yet, Mr. Lucas. We're not quite finished with you.
That swine! I knew the rolls had been out that night.
How's your skull, Mr. Lucas?
Hello, Mrs. Teague. Keep going, Phyllis.
I am, dear boy.
Right, you two. That's far enough.
Did you hear it all, Charlie Brown?
Enough. A man dressed in a chauffeur's uniform came out of that door like a bat out of hell.
I say, Brown, this is a church.
He leapt into a rose and took off like a bomb.
What was that?
Smash.
There's smoke. Look, above the trees.
I don't think Jason got very far.
Yes, I'd better go and see.
Phyllis, look outside.
Who is he, dear boy?
Chief Inspector Huntley.
Which way?
Back through the church.
Good. I doubt if the constabulary should consider it sanctuary, but even churches have back doors.
Stop.
Mr. Scutifer himself.
Not so, Mr. Lucas. Mr. Pierce, will you excuse us for a moment, please?
Certainly. I have an exit to make. Bye, Adrian.
Would you step into the vestry for a moment, Mr. Lucas?
Why should I, Mr. Square? One shout from me and two different kinds of law would be down your throat.
Please, Mr. Lucas, I bear no animosity towards you, and I can do you a great service on behalf of your uncle.
Oh?
You began to make a great nuisance of yourself, Mr. Lucas, because you believed something had happened to David Black.
Yes, he missed his own funeral.
It should have been perfect. The complete, the utter erasure of an individual.
But I was at the right place at the wrong time.
An almost incredible coincidence. Your uncle was very annoyed.
What?
Had you been found guilty of killing Vincent, your uncle, so-called, would have concurred in your execution.
Would have?
The organization you know as Scutifer is not one man, Mr. Lucas. Nevertheless, David Black did run it for some 11 years. Eventually, he wished to retire, and he also wished to spend his leisure in a country he has always admired, Israel.
Oh!
He wanted to vanish. So, he arranged his own death and his own funeral.
Scutifer has its own convenient doctor, too.
Yes, we are very well staffed.
Whose was the body you disposed of?
Ah, that was the beauty of the operation. We had on our hands an embarrassment, a fugitive diplomat from Eastern Europe, whose American acceptance we were negotiating when he collapsed and died. A real heart attack. How better to get rid of his remains?
You expect me to swallow all this, Mr. Square?
Your uncle knows you very well, Mr. Lucas. He will take steps to overcome your skepticism.
Oh?
In his own time. May I say that I hope you and I will never meet again?
It hasn't been a pleasure, has it?
It was nice of Pyrrhus to have Ernest drive us to the airport, Adrian.
Making sure I leave, love. He won't be in a hurry to employ me again after all the fuzz I've attracted.
No, I'll have a word with him.
I imagine we'll have a few witnesses to our fond farewell. Charlie Brown will be looking at his watch. One of Eddie's lads will be peeping at us from behind a pillar.
Oh.
And some plainclothes Sharpie will be looking for a phone to confirm with Chief Inspector Huntley that he still has my passport.
Does he?
One of them. Charlie Brown had one too, but I had a spare in the left luggage locker with the belt. Scutifer won't be far off either.
Brown thinks they're clear out now.
Set up shop somewhere else. But not, he hopes, on Charlie Brown's patch.
Oh, he's not bad, that one. He got my drugs driving charge dropped.
Good old et cetera, et cetera. How's the old Tudor carriage?
The rolls just touched it and I spun right round. I was lucky.
Jason wasn't. Brown said it went up like a fireball.
He collided with a marble angel in the churchyard.
Cremation in a very pricey casket. Eddie was heartbroken. It was her favourite car.
And all those charred £10 notes.
And Jason's grave goods. I don't owe him much. He did his best to put my fire out. Even called Huntley down on me. Well, Elsie, it's time to go.
Yes. Until whenever. I'll keep the flame burning for you, Adrian.
No smoke without fire, love.
Excuse me, Mr. Adrian Lucas.
Yes, I think.
I have a message for you, Mr. Lucas.
Oh.
A gentleman in first class has asked me to give you this note.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Nectamen consume batur.
That's the old burning bush tag. Yet it was not consumed. And yet he wasn't burnt. So, Uncle is on the plane, is he? Miss?
Yes, sir?
Would you tell the small elderly gentleman who gave you this note that I drink gin and tonic?
Oh, he has a vacant seat beside him, sir.
Probably number 13.
Oh, well, we don't have 13, sir. But he's a number 12 in the new smoking section.
In Smokescreen by John Lawson, Adrian Lucas was played by Victor Carin, Elsie by Gwyneth Guthrie, Athelstane Pyrus by Arthur Boland, Eddie Gallagher by Mary Riggins, and Charlie Brown and Wilberforce Warwick by Robert Trotter. Ron Bain played Vincent Gerard, and John Shedden played Jason, Mr. Square, and McLaren. Trevor and Mr. Torrance were played by Jimmy Chisholm, Chief Inspector Huntley by David Peat, Mrs. Teague by Sheila Latimer, and Rose McBain played the girl, woman, and stewardess. The play was directed in Edinburgh by Tom Kinninmont. Well, there's more drama tomorrow on Radio 4 when Prunella Scales and Sylvia Coleridge star in a play by William Trevor, Beyond the Pale. It's set in Ireland and tells of four people from England who visit a hotel in County Antrim each year, and there they have a pleasant time, until one of the party witnesses a violent incident which invades the tranquility of their lives. Beyond the Pale, described by the Sunday Telegraph as a work of art, is tomorrow at 2:30. And on Radio 3 tomorrow, it's the quiet life of a northern writer that's disturbed when he arrives in London to meet success. It's Ridercock Horse by David Mercer. David Mercer died in August and was probably best known as a television dramatist. But among his major works for the stage are Flint, After Haggerty, and a play you can hear tomorrow, starring Edward Petherbridge, Barbara Jefford, Jill Bennett, and Mary Miller, Ridercock Horse, at 10 to 7 tomorrow evening on Radio 3. Alternatively, tomorrow there's Prefaces to Shakespeare. As you may know, this week sees the BBC television production of The Merchant of Venice. Well, tomorrow on Radio 4, Timothy West will be talking about the play, a talk based on personal experience, as he's currently playing Shylock on stage at the Old Vic. He suggests that the most striking event of the play is the pound of flesh bargain struck up between Antonio and Shylock.
On the face of it, the bargain looks vicious. But I think it mustn't seem vicious. The point is that Shylock offers Antonio the money, to Antonio's great surprise, without asking any interest on it. Therefore, in legal terms, there has to be some condition. Now, Shylock is not used to dealing in forfeits. He's used to dealing in interest. So I don't think he makes this suggestion in any but a rather frivolous, derisory way, and certainly Antonio must take it as frivolous, though Bassanio, I believe, has a more instinctive concern about what it could possibly lead to.
Timothy West introduces The Merchant of Venice at 7:30 tomorrow evening on Radio 4. And later tomorrow, at 10:15, there's a study of the development of radio drama in The Stage Has Nothing to Give Us, with contributions from Val Gielgud, Sir John Gielgud, and Constance Cummings. That's tomorrow night at 10:15. Well, back to tonight, and at 10:15 there's a look at the life and times of Dorothy L. Sayers, scholar, writer, and free thinker. But now, before the news, here's the weather forecast for tomorrow. Northern Scotland will have sunny intervals and showers. Central and southern Scotland and northern and eastern England will start mostly dry, but cloud will quickly increase and rain will spread northeast during the day. Northern Ireland, Wales, the Midlands and southern England will be cloudy with rain, some of it heavy. Brighter weather with showers will reach the west during the afternoon, this clearer weather reaching eastern England during the evening. It'll become windy again and temperatures will be similar to those of today. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday, it will become rather cold with showers turning to snow in the north and sunny intervals. Further cloud and rain will return to northwest areas later. And that's the weather forecast.